Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Ed Gamble here. Sorry to interrupt the beginning of Off Menu, but I'm allowed because it's partly my podcast. But very excited to say that I'm going on a national tour in 2022. The show is called Electric. I'm very excited to show it to you and to be in front of real people again. That's going to be the most exciting thing. So please come and see it. If you don't come and see it, I will get the great Benito to work out that you listen to the podcast and you haven't come to see me on tour, and he will block you from the podcast, and he will love doing that because he is evil. Check out edgamble.co.uk for tickets to my tour, Electric. I'm going all over the country. If I'm not going 5 minutes away from you, hey, travel 10 minutes. It's worth it, I promise. Edgamble.co.uk, check out where I'm going on tour, buy some tickets, and I'll see you in 2022. Anyway, on with the show. Welcome to the podcast that resembles a steak tartare. It's raw and delicious.
Oh, different.
Yeah, you like
different
that?
Beginning. Yeah.
Hey, look.
It's absolutely fine.
I'm always working off the top of my head for these, because even though we've just recorded an intro for another podcast, I still forgot that I had to do this bit at the beginning.
Yeah, you absolutely did forget. I see it in your
I'm
eyes.
I'm always panicking. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast. We're in New York City. We're in an actual bar, and that's where you can hear a coffee percolator in the background.
Yep. That wasn't me doing a sound effect.
No, although you are very good at sound effects, aren't you? You're like the man from Police Academy.
Yeah.
And when I say like the man from Police Academy, I mean you're like Steve Guttenberg trying to do sound effects.
Yes, yeah. His character was not good at sound effects.
No, not at all. He's good, very good at other stuff, but not a sound effect guy.
What's your name?
Oh, Ed Gamble, sorry.
I'm James Acaster.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast. It's a food-based podcast where we ask a special guest some simple questions. What are they, James?
Their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink.
Indeed. And our special guest this week is the wonderful, wonderful comedian, Josh Gondelman. Gondelman. He is excellent. Just doing a very hissy fart. Josh Gondelman is a wonderful stand-up comedian. I've seen clips of his online. I've followed him on Twitter for many years. He's very funny on Twitter.
So funny.
And turns out, he's a lovely man. We've heard lots of rumours.
We've been told by so many people. All we knew going into this interview is Josh Gondelman is the nicest man on the planet.
Excellent. So, Josh Gondelman, despite being a nice man, we will be horrible to him if he says a secret ingredient, which we have predetermined before the interview. James, what is the secret ingredient this week?
Chicken feet, Ed.
Chicken feet. I don't think I've ever had chicken feet.
Me neither. So really, we're just being very narrow-minded about something that might be delicious.
We are, but I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't want to eat it.
No.
I guess it's, I mean, I don't know, maybe I would still eat them and maybe I would like them, but personally they give me the heebie-jeebies and
yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe that's reflective.
Maybe we should try chicken feet.
Yeah, maybe we should try them. But we really struggle to come up with secret ingredients on this podcast. Yeah. And so we're just going to say chicken feet because Josh Gondelman's so nice we don't want to kick him out. And no. We don't think he's going to say chicken feet.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's hope he doesn't say chicken feet. This is the off-menu menu of Josh Gondelman. Welcome, Josh Gondelman, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome, Josh Gondelman. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, now, wow. What do you think that sound effect was?
Were you appearing out of thin air?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's my first guess.
That's a great guess.
Thank you.
Yes, actually, it was originally going to be thin air, but I got in especially some fat air.
Oh, that's good.
I prefer fat air personally. It tastes better.
Tastes better. It's warmer to the touch.
Yeah.
I love a thick air.
It's what it's about.
Just air you can take a slice off.
yeah. Lovely slice.
So James is a genie. He's just appeared from some thick air.
Perfect. I have an amuse bouche for you.
Thank you.
Obviously.
I hate a bored bouche.
Yeah.
if my bouche isn't being entertained, it's like, no thanks.
Especially, you've just arrived at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You don't want any boredom in the bouche.
Sulky little bouche waiting there for you, stropping. Yeah.
Just, you got to hit the bouche fast. You got to hit it hard.
Absolutely.
Tickle it. Tickle the bouche.
Yeah,
tickle
straight
the
away.
Bouche under the chin.
Now, this is a new format point that you invented yesterday, James.
Yeah, I just decided that we don't do enough amuse bouches on this podcast.
Yeah. So what's the amuse bouche?
Because pizza.
Full pizza.
Yes.
A full pizza.
Yes.
Do I have to eat the whole thing?
It's an amuse bouche. It's up to you. But, you know,
okay.
Absolutely. I thought you'd like pizza before your
Thank
meal.
You. What kind of toppings are you talking?
Fish. Mm.
Fish?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Fish pizza.
Like an anchovy?
It's just all kinds of fish.
Okay.
Just like a bunch of different kinds of fish, but I didn't have time to cut any of them up, so they're all whole.
Whole fish.
But like, it's fish pizza.
Shrimps with the shells on.
Yeah. They're all there. Whole seabed on top of your lovely pizza.
Thank you.
Really sound like an amuse bouche. It sounds like it's going to make the bouche quite confused.
Yeah, it's a confused bouche.
Yeah, a confused bouche. That's quite nice.
This is the number one podcast for confused bouche. When you said you don't think you do enough amuse bouche on the podcast, I still feel like however much you were doing, it's more than every other podcast.
Exactly. Amuse bouche is a great name for this podcast. It's too late now, but
yeah, we should have done that.
Yeah,
that would have been a really good name.
Yeah.
Oh well, too late.
Josh, are you a foodie?
I like food. I'm not pretentious about it. My taste is incredibly broad.
Yeah.
I eat most things and I'm like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I like basically everything. I used to get teased at an old job because we would have sometimes they would bring in lunch and some of the writers I worked with would be like, this one isn't my favorite. And I'd be like, I don't know, it's lunch, so I'm into it.
I'm eating it now. It's nice.
It's good. It's in my mouth. It's got textures, flavors, all the things I like in a food.
So when people, like, if you go to someone's house and they say, is there anything you don't eat?
Yeah.
And I always feel bad that I'm just like, no, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right, you want to give them something.
Yeah.
So they can be like, oh, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, sure.
I don't eat, I'm not into tomato, like a big slice of tomato.
Like just raw
yeah,
tomato.
Raw
Yeah.
I'll eat it in things. It doesn't put me off as an ingredient, but as like a component I'm not into. Like what's that salad that's just, it's not even a salad. It's just basil and cheese and
Is it Caprese?
Caprese. Yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
I like 2/3 of that, and then I just leave the tomatoes.
You could pick the cheese out quite easily.
Yeah. It looks like the cheese has been raptured.
Yeah.
I got into it again a couple of years ago, tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you fall out with tomatoes?
Just got bored of them. I think it was pretty boring. I don't see what the fuss is about. Why is it everywhere? You know, I really didn't understand
That's
it.
That's how I feel. It shows up in every sandwich.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need you everywhere.
Overhyped. But then I went to a chef's table restaurant. So it's one of the chefs from Chef's Table. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to go because of that show.
Yeah.
And one of the dishes was this amazing tomato salad with like a tomato jelly as well that they'd made. And it really made me appreciate the flavor at the core of a tomato, like, and I'd like taken it for granted for so long, and then it suddenly made me see it all again in a new light, and now I love it. Anytime there's any tomato in anything, because it reminds me of that dish, and I can find that hint of that flavor in there, and it takes me back to
you had a tomato epiphany.
I did have a tomato epiphany, actually.
I love it. It was like, oh, the tomato's been hot the whole time.
Exactly. It was exactly like that. We always start off with still or sparkling water, Josh.
I go with still with a meal, please. Or tap if you have it. Even in a dream restaurant, I'm like, we should keep the cost down.
Yeah. Does it make you feel better?
It does.
Yeah, you feel bad if you're getting like paying for still water.
I don't need $6 for just water.
Sure.
I always ask for tap as well, but I always feel bad when I do it, like I'm a horrible piece of scum.
But they don't, it's not harder for them.
Yeah, but they always say, do you want still or sparkling? And I'll go, they never say tap. No one ever offers tap. Yep. So then you have, it's like a secret code. Yeah. It's a hack where you have to say tap.
I always worry that they think that when I ask for that, I will not be a good tipper.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, he's really cutting costs from word one.
All tap, no tip.
All tap, no tip.
Because that's where I was going to say that's where you save money. Tap and tip.
Tap and tip.
TNT.
TNT.
Any consultant will tell you that. Yeah. I like a still water with a lot of ice. I like my beverages as cold as possible at all times.
How much ice? Because I don't want to come to your country and start flinging around accusations, but I think Americans over ice.
I over ice.
You over ice.
I prefer an ice. I mean, I'm drinking iced coffee currently.
That is.
And in the winter. I like it not mostly ice. But enough, I like it cold top to bottom.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get ice that's just on the top and the bottom is still room temperature.
Sure.
Yeah. That's not for
that's
me.
That's not nice.
No, thank you.
Yeah, because you get
I work hard. I deserve the beverage at the temperature I prefer.
You want it stacked.
Oh, yeah. Stacked. I don't need it dense, but I need it stacked. That's the word for it.
Do you have ice in your home?
Oh, yeah. Always. Yeah. If you come to my home, you will not be disappointed by a dearth of ice. You go to the freezer, it's in there.
Yeah.
In the freezer. But do you have one of those little machines on the front of your freezer?
No, it's on the inside, though, so it makes it by itself. Yeah, and
That's nice.
Yep, and I take it for granted fully, like the tomato.
Yeah.
I just think it'll be there. Yeah, if one day I open the freezer and it hadn't made it, I wouldn't know how to fix it. I'd be very disappointed, wouldn't know who to call to get it fixed, and I would just drink warm beverages until I moved.
Yeah.
And just feel disappointed.
But you'd move quickly, right?
Yeah.
You'd immediately put it into action.
I would tell my wife, I would say, honey, we got to get out of here.
We have to move house, preferably into an igloo.
So
I could eat the walls.
A house that I could drink slowly.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Raymond Carver short story, a house that I can drink slowly.
I wouldn't know how to... Who would you call to fix the ice machine?
I guess so. We have a landlord, and I guess I would call him. Wow. But then I don't know who he would call.
Yeah.
Do you call the company that makes the refrigerator? Is it a plumber? It's a water issue, but it's not really a pipe issue.
Yeah.
Or is it?
It'd be weird if the plumber...
Does
if you're a plumber, you'd probably
be annoyed.
Does
a plumber deal with ice as well? Or just water?
Just liquid water.
Yeah. Is there an ice plumber?
I don't know. And then a gaseous plumber. We get a steam problem. Oh, that's going to be a different guy.
An ice plumber. I like the thought of an ice plumber.
Yeah.
I think
he wears sunglasses.
He's cool. He's cool as hell.
He's really cool. Problems or bread? Problems or bread, Josh? Problems or bread?
Bread, please.
Bread, please.
Very polite as well.
Yeah. Very polite. Me and Ed haven't met you before. But your reputation precedes you as a polite, nice man.
Thank you. That's very kind.
I don't think I've ever heard one person get so many compliments before I've met them before.
That's very kind. I appreciate that so much.
I knew you'd take it nicely like that.
Well, I try.
How nicely you took it.
I've been trying not to be like when people compliment, which, you know, happens from time to time. Yeah. I try not to be one of those guys that's like, oh, you think something nice about me? Well, you're a fucking idiot. Only an idiot would say something nice to me.
It's the ultimate test, is tell a nice person they're nice. And then you get to see.
Yeah, see how they really are.
See the truth.
I could just be really good at facades.
Yeah.
Just facades in general.
But if you've taken it that far, the nice facade, then you're basically nice, I think.
The facade has penetrated to the inside.
If you don't show to anyone that you're a nasty person and just nice to everyone, I think you're nice.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, you've gone so deep undercover.
I'm practically in the mob at this point.
Yeah, you're the godfather of nice.
Depends what you're doing in secret, though, I guess. If you're being nice to everyone, but you're poisoning everyone. when that's not.
Oh, no, that's right, not right, being right, nice right. to everyone. That's not. That's,
the facade is there.
Yeah.
Nice to everyone's true. Faces, but then.
You know, and then poisoning them.
Yeah. Secretly yeah. poisoning us all.
With ice.
Killing them not with kindness, but with poisonous ice.
Yeah, sending the ice plumber around to their house.
Yeah, he's got the sunglasses on because his eyes are shifty.
He knows what he's doing, that ice plumber. There's some people in the city, because obviously New York has a reputation. But like some people really yell at each other and stuff like that. And on night one,
oh, it was great.
We saw some classic New York brashness.
And it was like it's like they welcomed us to New York by having an argument outside the hotel. Yeah.
That's a concierge service.
Yeah. Could we have a New York argument outside the room, please?
Mm-hmm. Two men arguing by a car. I assume one of them owned the car. Mm-hmm. Don't know what they're arguing about, but one of them was just saying, "You can suck my dick. You suck my dick. Bend over and suck my dick." He said, "Bend over and you suck my dick."
That's a classic New York City insult.
In England, by the way, that'll get you punched in the face saying that.
Oh, yeah. In New York, that's kind of like the opening salvo in a negotiation. Yeah. It's like, "Well, you want me to suck your dick? That's not really what I'm into right now. Let's see if we can reach a middle ground."
Because there was no threat of violence. They were stood like quite far away from each other. The guy was just taking it. And then, well, the worst comeback in the world.
Worst, but also my favorite comeback I've ever heard. The guy went, "Why don't you get your wife to suck your dick?"
Not unfair.
We're just like,
"Why don't you and your wife share an intimate moment?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
"We hardly know each other. This is too much given our relationship. I'm mad at you, so I'm definitely not going to do you that kindness you suggested."
Also, it was bend over and suck my dick. Yeah. Like, it's not even get on your knees.
No. Yeah,
just like, fully bend at the hips.
Bend at the waist.
"I know you have back issues, so this is not going to be comfortable.
And we're in the street. I don't want you putting your knees in any dirt." Bend over.
There might be puddles. Yeah. Just bend over standing. We don't have the time.
That sounds like something your wife should do, actually.
This is a thing for the bedroom.
Yeah, this is not.
Yeah, this is a private moment.
"You seem very lonely. And I can't meet your needs."
So that was it. That was the opposite of...
absolutely.
It's opposite
that's
Gondelman.
That's so funny.
Yeah, an opposite Gondelman.
Yeah, opposite Gondelman. Yeah.
It's just that's the sex position, is the reverse Gondelman. A guy unsuccessfully demanding a stranger suck his dick.
Yeah, well, better than the waist.
Yeah. So Brett.
Sorry, yeah.
Brett.
What bread would you like?
I like... Does a roll count as a bread?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So kind of a... some kind of whole grain roll, dark grain roll with... There's like a honey salted butter.
Oh, yeah.
The butter is the thing. Any soft bread will do, really. Uh-huh,
yeah.
It's just a vehicle for the butter. Yes. That's going to be a theme through my meal, I think, is a vehicle for butter.
Butter vehicles.
And butter vehicles. Yeah, they look good from far away, butter vehicles. Just a horrible car.
Have you had this honey salted butter anywhere in particular?
Yeah, there was this place that closed. This is going to get wistful. My wife and I, we had this favorite restaurant. It was where our parents met each other. We took both of our parents out to meet at this restaurant called Rye in our old neighborhood. We lived in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And they just had the greatest butter. And my wife is diabetic, so she doesn't eat a lot of bread because it just turns right into sugar, which is really, you know, she has to really calibrate carefully.
Type 1 or type 2?
Type 1.
I'm type 1.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm type 1, but I've just eaten a cookie because I'm in New York.
Fuck my blood. New York City, baby. Suck my dick, blood.
Bend over, blood, and suck my dick.
So she but she will, for the salted butter, this kind of sweet salted butter, she used to get excited and would, you know, budget for that health-wise.
You've got to give some things a pass.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't live your life denying everything.
No. Agreed.
Yeah.
And so it was terrific. And the restaurant has since closed, and we miss it. But we don't live there anymore. We moved because our last ice maker broke. So we're in a different neighborhood in Brooklyn now.
Did your wife fall in the Hudson?
No.
Oh.
Now, just to let you know, Josh, this is a running joke where James claims that I got type 1 diabetes because I fell in the Thames.
This is a good question. I thought it was interesting because, like, I thought probably not the Thames, right? Because you guys don't live near it, the Hudson.
But I'm glad to hear that your wife coincidentally hasn't fallen in the Hudson, because that would really that would back up his theory.
I would have really landed on my feet there if she had landed.
Small sample size, but it really would have been the study. Yeah.
If your wife had fallen in the Hudson, it would have done me a lot of favors in the long run on this podcast.
Like, I can see if she'll do it.
Yeah,
she's very nice.
Well, maybe also any body of water. If you could ask her if she's ever fallen in a body of water, then, and then we can find out.
Yeah, we can find out that.
Yeah. And then, because I'm trying to, it's for the good of everyone, really, if I find out, get to the root of it all.
It's good research.
Yep. I like reminiscing about places that have closed. I think that's very nice. And like, I like it when people bring that to the podcast.
Do you have like favorite, do you think about places that have closed often?
Yeah. There was a place in Auckland in New Zealand where, so I'd only go there once a year for the festival, the comedy festival. And there was a place called Honey Trap and they did this sandwich and it was the best, like a beef brisket kind of sandwich with, there's this amazing coleslaw in it and pickles. My favorite sandwich ever, and it's shut.
I also have a favorite beef brisket sandwich that at a place that no longer exists, a barbecue place in Boston called Soulfire that's gone.
Oh.
I talking about places that have closed is like the ultimate New York City pastime, and I think until until you don't know, like until you have a favorite place that closed, that's I think when you become a real New Yorker.
Right.
It's like when every neighborhood, when you can point at any bank and just be like, ah, I used to get a tattoo there. That's like the, truly the New Yorkist thing of like you just look at a thing that sucks and remember when it used to be good. And that's like, that's everybody's favorite hobby. It's which you can't recommend to tourists, right? You just have to be like, I guess go to the Whitney. It's smart because you can't reminisce about a place you're visiting.
Yeah,
and
you,
never
need to, you need to stay here for a few months and see the full life cycle of a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of places like don't last long here, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's quite impressive if you manage to keep a like restaurant going for a while in New York. Like,
it's really impressive.
Yeah,
there's a restaurant in our neighborhood. I don't want to blow up their spot, but it's so bad, and it's and it's been open for like 6 months, and we walk by it all the time and just go, this place, how it must be a front. They must run numbers in the back, some kind of gambling program, because it's not enough to be. It's like, does this restaurant have rich parents? Like, who pays its rent?
That's when you know you're a bad restaurant. If you're like such a, your food is so bad that you get investigated by the FBI because it has to be a front.
This can't be a real restaurant.
Yeah. No, what is it? What is it here? What are you trafficking?
Have you been to the restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've gone a couple times. It's like a coffee shop and restaurant, but it only seats like 4 people, which is a red flag. Yeah. That's not enough people to keep a restaurant open.
Especially if you can go in and get a seat immediately.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's never a line. They're like, we'll take the table. It's open, sir. But they do prepared food. It's not just like a small, you know, it's not just a window coffee shop. It's like they'll serve you a warm meal.
Uh-huh.
And that's a bad sign. But it's like, well, we don't expect people to sit and eat at our restaurant.
Yeah, I think 4 seats, you're either a horrendous restaurant or you're...
The best restaurant, right. There's exclusive. A documentary about you.
Yeah.
It's called 4 Seats. They serve each person 1 quail egg.
Yeah, and they only have a landline. That's the only way you can make
reservations online. Right, you call their phone.
There's a sushi restaurant in London where they've only got a landline, but they put on their Twitter account, we have 1 seat remaining for 5 p.m. next Friday, call now, and they plug in their landline, and as soon as they've booked it, they unplug their landline.
That's incredible. Yeah. I hate how much I love it.
Yeah.
I like wish I could just be like, well, I guess I'll never go there. Yeah. But now I'm like, oh, I want it so bad.
I've never been there, but the only people, the only Twitter account I have notifications for.
Is that
so whenever they tweet, I'm like, I got a call.
How often do they tweet?
Well, like I'd say like once a week they tweet with like, next week we've got one seat. But it's
and then
one
they
seat.
Throw their phone out the window.
Yeah, and then they get tweeted. In for a phone a week. Yeah. Every
what
time
do they tweet from? Do they call? They have a guy they call. They're like, do the tweet.
And then unplug the phone.
Do you remember that? When Twitter started, there's a thing you could text your tweets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that.
It was a literal game of telephone.
We come to your starter.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
The main show. Well, the start of the main show.
Yeah. The start of the main. For me, it's the main show.
Yeah, for Ed, it is.
I love the starters.
Do you have an all-time favorite?
It's not about us.
Okay, right. Okay, sorry. Yeah. But, I didn't mean to pry. Yeah.
Josh, keep your fucking nose out of our business. Okay?
That facade started to slip.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with a particular salad.
Oh.
There's a restaurant called Rucola in Brooklyn that has this great salad. It's escarole, goat cheese, toasted almonds, and this light dressing. It's like a, I looked it up this morning. It's like a honey elderflower vinaigrette, but it's not too sweet and it's not too tangy, and they don't overdo it, and it's just right. I'm sometimes against a nut in a salad because it's hard to fork. You got to scoop it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't just
spear
and all that, but it's so good. And it's like I always like to start with – I eat the vegetables first whenever I'm eating because then I will always have eaten the vegetables.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter because I know like if I get a steak or something and there's vegetables on the side and I start with the steak, it's like, you know, that spinach might – linger.
Yeah.
But if I start with the spinach, like I'll finish the steak.
Yeah. There's no way you're going to get halfway through the steak and go, oh, I have overfilled myself on spinach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy. I should have thought this
every time, every time, Josh, you overfill on spinach.
They're like, stop eating so much spinach. You're going to fill up on spinach.
God.
Never advise. And oh, may I ask, this is another question. For this meal, is there an occasion? Because I realized when I was thinking about it in advance, I was conceiving it as a last meal, which feels like a very American concept, right? Because we still allow the state to execute people barbarically, and then we give them the last meal first. So I at first I was thinking about that, and then I was like, well, I guess I might as well choose a meal that I would think afterwards I want to die, and then I would die. But I've reimagined it as a meal that I would want to eat and then continue living.
Cool. So I think, you know, it's the dream restaurant, so it can be whatever you want it to be. The occasion can be whatever you want.
I'm going to go continue living because it feels a little depressing to go like, my dream restaurant, they murder me after the meal.
Yeah, it'd be the worst.
Yeah, I think this is a continue living party.
You would have one of the best kinds.
Yeah.
The old continue living occasion.
You would have to tip huge if they murdered you at the end of the meal.
What?
Yeah.
You would have to just give a real impressive tip.
Oh, so, that they didn't murder you.
Or if you were like, well, you're going to have to murder me when I finish eating. Yeah. So, like, here's an extra $7,000.
Oh, so you're paying a hitman.
Essentially. It's a chef slash hitman. It's a Bradley Cooper film.
Yeah.
So you're thinking there, if you tip them big, they'll make it painless and quick.
They'll dispose of it. It's just like it's a lot of effort they have to go to.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So you're starting with the salad,
which is a lighter
start.
It's a lighter start.
Continuing living.
I would like to continue living.
I love your reasoning for the you know, being a bit cautious about having a nut in a salad because it is difficult to scoop.
Yeah.
But I do love nuts in salads.
I love the texture of it and the taste.
Yeah.
A walnut in a salad.
A toasted walnut.
Oh, so good.
Oh, so good.
Delicious.
I put toasted walnuts on something the other day. I can't remember what I was cooking. All I remember is the walnut. That's
how good it was.
Toasted too many walnuts and then just kept eating the walnuts.
Just a full walnut blackout.
Exactly. I came out the other side. I was like, what happened?
I always want to have a nut in every mouthful of salad, though.
Mm.
If there's nuts in the salad, I don't want a mouthful without a nut.
Same with the little goat cheese. I try to evenly distribute the cheese throughout the bite.
Basically,
this is another dairy vehicle, isn't it?
It is. The cheese is good, but I do like the escarole, the dressing, the nuts. It all works together.
What's escarole?
It's like a kind of a big floppy lettuce.
Great.
Yeah, I think. That's how I would describe it.
I thought lettuce.
It's lettuce-esque.
Lettuce-esque.
Yeah. It's in the lettuce realm.
That's why it's got escarole. The full name is Lettuce Escarole.
Love it. I like the sound of this very much.
It's delicious.
We've had a salad with nuts in it yet. When you first had that salad, were you like, this won't be that great?
Yeah. I thought we should have a salad.
Yeah.
We were looking to split a salad. I was out with my wife, Maris. Looking to split a salad, and we crossed off the ones that were objectionable to us for various reasons, too much tomato and the like. And then we were down, I think, between this and one other one. We said, oh, we'll take a chance on this. And it is, like, all-time favorite salad.
Yeah. I mean, having a salad, I usually just do it for, you know, conscience. I feel better.
Exactly.
Guilt purposes.
When you stumble across a good one.
Oh, yeah.
That is exciting.
It's a gift.
Like, you found a secret because you've gone to a corner of the menu. No one with, you know, an actual appetite for good times would go.
It's like dust all over the salad bit. You have to blow all the dust off.
It's an ancient scroll. Is this going to teach me how to win the Game of Thrones?
The salad out loud and you invoke a demon.
Oh, I'd love it, though, that kind of stuff.
You'd love the salad demon?
I'd love to open like a menu and there's like a treasure map in there.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to find a treasure map so much.
Oh, it would be so great.
Yeah.
I would even love, one of those, you turn around the picture and on the back there's like a priceless work of art.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you're like, oh, embedded in the picture frame, you scratch it and yeah, it's like, ah, yeah. Oh, this was painted by Picasso himself or whoever. Any kind of fancy secret.
Any secret,
A bookcase that you pull the book. Yeah.
I'd love that.
In the house when I was at university, and we found out there was an extra room in the house that was bricked over. Mm-hmm. So there's like a window that we couldn't work out where the window went, and there was like a wall in front of it, a little extra room.
And you went in the secret room?
Yeah, there's nothing in there.
Here's a question.
Go on.
I wouldn't ask this if it wasn't during your university days.
Go on.
Did you have a wank in the room?
No. I didn't wank in the secret room, okay. No.
I wonder what kinds of secrets were in there.
Yeah, I think most students would probably...
have a wank. Do you think most students, the first thing they do if they found a secret room would be have a wank?
Well, no one's going to find you in there. It's a secret room.
It is a secret room.
Yeah, but I'd have to break down a wall because there wasn't a door to it. So I'd have to like break down a wall, which everyone would hear.
Like a horny Kool-Aid man. Yeah, yeah.
There'd be no way of blocking that off then. So then they'd come in and I'd just be wanking in some rubble. It'd be the saddest thing.
They'd understand. They'd go, we see what's happening.
Oh, we've already done that.
Yeah, yeah. We tried.
Have they put it back?
Yeah.
Very carefully building, learning how to do mortar work.
It's reminiscent about the wank while they're building the wall, rebuilding the wall. It's a good wank, actually.
Cool. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
I hope we haven't affected your appetite now.
No, that's okay.
Without wank talks, we're going to talk about your main course now.
Great.
So that salad does really teach you up nice to essentially do whatever you like. Like
I'm setting myself up for, just to run wild during the meal.
Great.
And I'm still going to keep it pretty simple because, again, I'm going to want to live afterwards. Mm. So I think we go lobster roll.
Oh, yes.
Which is also, in effect, a vehicle for butter.
Oh, yeah.
And lobster.
Yeah. And to be fair, the lobster's.
Yeah, the lobster gets a look in there.
The lobster headlines the role. The butter isn't even mentioned. It's like a cameo.
Yeah.
Shows up during the credits. But yeah, I love a lobster roll. I grew up in Massachusetts, which is lobster roll country, I think. Mm-hmm. And there's two kinds. There's the kind with the cold kind with mayonnaise, and the warm kind with butter, which I think is the preferable kind.
Yes. That's the king.
Yeah, that's a good lobster roll. And you kind of you get it at a place where I feel like there's places you go at the beach where you're like, I had like a lobster roll, and you're like $23, and then you see how much it is, and it's like an entire fleet of lobsters has perished for the one roll. Yeah. And people say, you know, like there are people who go, well, it's like a cockroach, right? It's like eating a cockroach of the sea. They're to try to harsh your good time. But to me, that just makes it sound like maybe cockroaches are also delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
Because lobsters are so good.
Yeah. Why are we not eating cockroaches?
Yeah. And I've never had a lobster like crawl out from behind my refrigerator. You know? It's just a different relationship with them.
Cockroaches can survive anything, right?
So they could.
You'd try and steam them like a lobster and they'd just like run off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just little butter tracks behind them.
Yeah. Thanks for the free butter, losers. Into the sea.
Bend way over and suck my dick.
Bend down as far as you possibly can and suck my tiny little cockroach dick.
The lobster roll, I think, is where that's the main course. So it's not too heavy, but it's certainly it's a little decadent.
Is there a specific place? It's from Massachusetts?
There's a few places. My family used to go to this place called Woodman's, which is like up on the North Shore of Massachusetts. And they would have you sit outside at picnic benches and get all sorts of seafood. You get lobster and steamed clams and mussels and all that. And I have very fond memories of it. And I don't go back that much in the summer. So I always miss out. But it's like I will routinely get my parents a gift certificate there because I know they'll go there anyway during the summer. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, here, enjoy this meal you were planning to have. That's like a nice meal out, because otherwise I really spin out buying a gift. My family has gone on to a restaurant gift certificate based gift giving system primarily.
Great.
And I think I've initiated that.
That's such a good decision.
It feels terrific.
Yeah.
It's so good. Cause there's some places around where I live that, you know, it's a little fancy to just go. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think about it in time for like, oh, it's my birthday. They're already booked. You know, I guess we'll go next year. And to go like, oh, I'm going to get a gift certificate there. So it's top of mind. And then lock down a reservation. Very nice.
That's fair. I do like that.
Yeah, that's
a lot.
Really good.
That's really good. I think, as you get older, just it's more about time spent with each other than it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Brilliant.
And it's also like, I don't need that much stuff.
Yeah.
And my parents don't like the same stuff that I do. So, like, I'd be like, hey, this is pretty cool. And they're like, we don't need these high-top Jordans. Like, my mom is like, I'm not going to wear those.
Okay, I'll take them back then.
Yeah, sure. They are conveniently my size. Men's 10. I don't know why that was my guess for your shoe size.
I also like that you've chosen the lobster roll and not a lobster. Because I am of the opinion that it is better, and I don't really understand when people buy lobster and they spend ages like being a surgeon and trying to eat it like that, and it's just a mess. And I think, just put it all in a roll. And have a good time.
It is. It's an easier time.
Yeah.
I do like kind of cracking it open, but that feels not in a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
It feels like, you know, everybody else is like eating chicken with a fork and a knife, and you're just ripping into it like it murdered your family. You're just like tearing it limb from limb. And it just feels like really barbaric to do it while other people, like if everybody's doing that, it's fine.
Sure.
But if you're the only one performing that kind of like amateur surgery, as you're saying, it's like a little ugly.
I quite like it. I like cracking into the lobster. I like any food where they have to bring you a bib.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that, where they're like, we know you're going to get messy.
Yeah.
All bets are off. Put this child's bib on.
You get barbecue ribs.
Yeah.
They bring you like the wet naps before the meal starts. Yeah. Like, you're going to get extra dirty. Like, you have napkins. You're going to need more.
I don't like cracking them open because I think that I'm going to get a shard of like claw in my meat. Like, that's what I worry about.
Oh, interesting.
I worry that I'm going to have a little horrible little shard.
And what do you worry the shard will do?
Oh, I just don't want it in my mouth. Just feels the thought of it is horrible.
That's a confused boosh, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very confused. Just the shards. Imagine someone brought that out before a meal.
I would call it a refuse boosh. Yeah, thank you. Keep it out of my mouth.
We've invented so many booshes today.
There's so many booshes.
So many different types of booshes.
We're kind of boosh pioneers.
Yeah.
We're booshineers. Yeah.
Have you ever chosen your lobster?
I have.
What do you look for in a lobster while it's still alive?
Size is one.
Yeah.
That's most of it. Because I don't know what else makes it delicious.
Fight.
Like, right, if it's friskier, is that going to be, am I just like, I like the spirit of that one. Like, that feels very warlord-like.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But the whole thing feels quite warlord-like
For sure. Like, tearing it open with your hands.
Yeah. You shall die.
Yeah.
He's pointing at it at a tank.
What would you do if you looked in the tank of lobster and there's the biggest, plumpest one and you knew you wanted it and you're about to point at it, and as you're about to point at it, it looks at you in waves.
Oh,
waves of its claw, like really, like nice, sweetly waves at you.
Good to meet you.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we gonna? Are we vibing? Is this something?
Okay, I'll come and meet you, but you got to promise. I thought you were gonna say, "What would you do if you looked at it? It had your face."
Oh, that would be very bad. Good I would question. Try to. I think I would offer them a sum of money to give it to me to not eat.
Yeah,
if it had my face,
because you'd need that lobster as a pet. If you...
yeah, or a just a body double.
Yeah,
the way Saddam Hussein used to have.
Send it into
I'm
work.
Not sure you'd fool the government.
No, that's true.
By Josh Gondelman's going to be at this event today. He appears to have a lobster's body.
Yeah, well, we can't shoot him. Might as well boil him. We're going to trick him into a pot.
You definitely need. Yeah, if you saw a lobster with your face, that.
Yeah.
If someone said, "Do you have any pets?" You're like,
I thought you were going to say. If you were about to point at the lobster and it pointed at you, bring it on.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then it would have to defeat it in single combat before I ate it.
Oh, yeah, that would be scary, actually.
It'd be very scary.
All those options, I think, would put me off eating the lobster, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah.
I would be like, I'll just stick with the salad.
Yeah. Just double
more
salad.
Walnuts, please.
There's a little chain in London called Burger and Lobster, which when it opened with it was basically on the menu was only a burger, like lobster that you have to crack and a lobster roll, and it was like £20.
They have that here too.
Oh, do they?
But they've expanded the menu a little bit.
Yeah,
which I missed the original menu. I thought that was so fun.
Yeah,
just three choices.
Yeah, and that lobster roll was the first lobster roll I ever had, and it's still maybe my favorite lobster roll. I do go pretty nuts for it.
Really nice. But yeah, they expanded the menu too much.
Mm-hmm.
They had a burger that they put lobster in it.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm having that. That's right on my street. And then that's too much.
It was too much.
It's too much.
I think they just end up just like basically just being a normal restaurant, but with the longest name in the world.
Yeah.
Burger and lobster and lasagna and quiche and coleslaw and corn on the cob.
And we definitely have dessert. Don't think we don't have dessert because we didn't say dessert yet.
Yeah. And drinks.
And beverage. Well, you're not going to go thirsty in this restaurant. That's all part of the name in parentheses. Yeah,
yeah. And tables and chairs.
And good service.
Yeah.
A warm welcome.
Yeah.
And a moose bouche, a refused bouche.
A confused version.
Your side dish, then, to go with this. I mean, so are you picking a side dish based on your main
meal? I am. Okay. I'm going to go a thin French fry.
Yes.
Or not one. Yeah. Like a side of thin French fry.
A very long one.
Yeah, just one that I'm going to, like a long, like a Cruella de Vil cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hold it in my mouth. But skinny French fries that you can dunk like three at a time in a ketchup.
I like to, because at Burger and Lobster, they bring along the lobster roll. They have the fries there in like a big cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they have the butter boat with the butter in it that you can pour in your lobster roll. I like to pour a bit of that butter over the fries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very luxurious.
Yes.
That's like a dream restaurant meal.
Yeah.
That you can have in real life. But in a dream. I almost, for my main, I almost went with a fictional food. but I never tried it, so I didn't know if it would be worth using my dream on. I almost went with the chicken from the chicken restaurant in Breaking Bad. Because people love it so much, they didn't notice that they were making meth downstairs.
Yeah.
This is the best chicken anyone's ever imagined.
That restaurant near you really needs to take a leaf out of that book.
Yeah, for sure.
If we're going to cover this up, we need to make the food good.
We need to make the food better.
Yeah.
People are going to catch on to our four-chair restaurant.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, like, when Breaking Bad first came out, people would, like, all the merch came out, but none of it said Breaking Bad on it. Mm-hmm. So you had to have seen Breaking Bad to know the merch. So like the Heisenberg drawing or the chicken.
Yeah.
And then you'd see it be like, oh, God, that person's really cool.
Yeah.
And now I see people with that T-shirt. I'm like, for you, try hard, little loser.
Yeah, oh, for
you're
sure.
Wearing that chicken T-shirt for.
What's the name of the restaurant in it?
Polos Hermanos.
Polos Hermanos, right. Because
it was
El Pollo Loco, I said, but that's a real place. We could just have that. Right. We were in a couple of years ago into a wedding in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they are still riding that Breaking Bad train hard. They have like rock candy, meth rock candy, and gift shops, and like hats and t-shirts. It's all over the place.
I feel like they've not taken like the morals from Breaking Bad necessarily.
Right. No.
They've come away with completely the wrong
thing. The aesthetic.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, the meth. We'd sell the meth to kids.
Meth is cool. Make it blue.
It tastes delicious. Yeah.
You can't put it down. It's really good stuff.
You guys all like meth? Hey, kids, remember, if you see a lady in her sleep vomiting and choking on her vomit, just leave it. Don't get involved. That's the motto.
We sell edible cans of that vomit. You could recreate the scene.
It's her vomit. She's dead now. Jesse doesn't know. Don't tell him.
Can't tell him. Just it's like a ride. They have a Breaking Bad amusement park, and one of the rides is you just let a lady die. It's very bleak. Not a lot of fun.
Drink her vomit from a can, and the can just says, "Don't tell Jesse on it."
Don't tell Jesse brand lady vomit.
Warm can of Don't Tell Jesse.
You threw me a hot can of DTJ.
It wouldn't fizz, but it would just go like,
whoa. Very bad.
So you nearly chose the chicken.
Chose the chicken that doesn't even exist.
Fictional food is some stuff you kind of like think, I would like to know what that.
That's like the number one fictional food for me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are others. I used to think, I think this is well-trod territory, but in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe books, they're all into Turkish delight, which I thought was fictional, but is real and not good. And I wish it were fictional.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Big disappointment. I think we spoke about it on an episode before. That's how much everyone feels the same about this.
Because Turkish delight sounds so amazing. Because Edmund's all wrapped up warm in the witch's sleigh and then has some Turkish... Oh, looks amazing.
That's what that is?
Yeah, it's just like... Oof.
I think I must have imagined it as like, you know, this sweet that kind of makes you feel the way that hot chocolate makes you feel.
Yeah.
So like that has that kind of effect on you, like a pop of Willy Wonka stuff.
It's like if popcorn were called the Pharaoh's gift. You try to.
There's a better name for this.
Yeah. I think we should call this Don't Tell Jesse. that's how I feel.
Soup, real soup dumplings were ruined for me because I saw Spirited Away before I had soup dumplings. And the soup dumplings in that film are like bags. They're like huge bags of soup and they're like slurping them in. And then you actually have a soup dumpling and there's like a teaspoon of soup in there or something.
Yeah.
They're still good, but they're ruined by the movie for sure.
Yeah.
Or at least,
the food in that movie is crazy. That's my dream fictional food.
Yeah.
That's how someone described, I might have said this on the podcast before, but I was going for a meal with some friends and it was the Chinese restaurant near their house. And they said it's really good. And I was like, well, like, what kind of stuff? And then they said, here's how good it is. The food tastes like the food in Spirited Away looks.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, okay.
That's an incredible restaurant.
And we hadn't had that chat before. They didn't know that I think that food looks amazing. But I think, again, that's just taken as a given that everyone sees that film and goes, I wish food was like that.
Also, we're ignoring the fact that they eat that food and they all turn into pigs.
They all turn
just
into
too
pigs.
Busy looking at the food going, I would happily turn into a pig for that food.
I would turn into a pig with my face and then walk around and turn up to meetings.
Yeah.
I'll still turn up to meetings. I'll keep my appointments.
Right. I would still, just because you're a pig doesn't give you an excuse to blow off obligations.
No. Also, you know, you turn up to the meeting and the guy you're having the meeting with is also a pig. You'd be like, you have those soup dumplings?
Yeah.
High five,
hopes.
This is my accountant. He's a lobster with my face also. Met him in a restaurant. So that's good. The fries with the lobster.
A natural pairing.
I feel like in the States as well, I don't think we have this much in places in the UK, a real nest of fries.
Yeah.
Very good at doing like a big nest.
Yeah.
A lie that I tell myself frequently is, I won't finish all those French fries.
Yeah.
And then I finish all those French fries.
Yeah.
If I leave three behind, I'm like a model of restraint. I'm Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I just think every French fry I don't eat is one ab that I'm growing.
Yeah. That's how it works. That's the maths.
I would like him as a guest on the podcast, but I don't think, I don't know if he would do it. But like, I would like to know what he would choose and what he eats. Because I can only imagine.
He eats a lot of fish. I know, because it's like lean protein.
Yeah.
A lot of fish.
Oh, well, I have a pizza he might like. In that case. Do you think you'd get on with him?
I bet. He seems very genial.
Mm.
He seems like one of those famous people that's like nice as kind of a general rule and not like when the cameras are off.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know, The Rock is cooking. It's get the big keep it, get the fuck out of here.
Well, it's no, but we've now found out that what The Rock is cooking is fish.
Yeah.
So when
yeah.
you say, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? It's like, yeah, and you shouldn't be cooking it in communal areas because yeah. fish stinks and it's really antisocial.
Yeah.
Make the wrestling ring stink of fish.
This is an office microwave, Dwayne Johnson.
We all smell it.
Get your haddock out of that office microwave.
Andy says, know your roles.
He does.
Know your lobster rolls.
Know your lobster rolls, yeah.
Maybe he was talking to you,
Dwayne,
Josh.
Dwayne the Rock Lobster Johnson.
Yeah.
That's what it's short for.
Yeah.
It's short for Rock Lobster.
That's an interesting abbreviation. Yeah.
Love it if The Rock was short for something.
Yeah.
Short for Rock Lobster.
Short for Baroque.
Yeah.
Dwayne the Baroque yeah. Johnson.
It was too much for
yeah, I didn't know I was going to play with the WWE.
Too fancy. You're going to call yourself
that. Costume sketches. He's dressed as a conductor.
They're not going to get it, Dwayne.
Okay, we'll have to do something about the name.
What are that fucking Pilchards? The Pilchards today? Are you shitting me, Dwayne? So, we come to your drink now.
Yeah.
Now, since everything so far has complemented each other, I kind of feel like you're going to go in that kind of, continue down that
road. I think so.
Road.
This, I think, goes, it's not the most natural pairing, but I think it works, is I love a dirty vodka martini with, I had one of these the other night, and every time it's offered to me, I react as if I've never heard of such a wonderful thing, because I feel that way, is a dirty vodka martini with blue cheese stuffed olives.
Oh, my God.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
I have never heard of
it's
that.
It's so good.
I am fully on board.
Oh, it's so good.
What?
I love it.
This sounds crazy. You're putting cheese in your drink.
I see, again, another vehicle for dairy.
Yeah. It's another dairy.
It is thematic.
The last place I thought it was going to crop up as well.
Here it is.
Where did you have that?
There's a few places. I was at a bar in Chicago this week. Occasionally a steakhouse will have it. That's the previous time I'd had it, too. I was out with my wife and I took my parents out to dinner in Boston. I think Beauty Bar on 14th Street might have them. Right. That's, I think, where I had them the first time. They said, you know, for an extra dollar, you shove some blue cheese in those.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bargained at twice the price. Or however much the difference. Even if it was $3. It's such a nice treat because it complements kind of the salty, savory, olive-y taste, and it doesn't leak out. They pack it in.
Yeah, right, I was going to say.
Yeah, no, you don't want cheese floating in your drink.
I wouldn't mind that either, to be honest.
I'd like it.
You know, I wouldn't throw it out. I wouldn't choose a floating cheese.
No. If it popped out the olive, I'm not going to complain.
No, I'm not trying to skim it.
Yeah.
Like a dirty swimming pool. But it is so good, and it's like so salty and savory and like a real like olive-y vodka martini.
I feel like that just sounds like gout in a drink.
Yeah.
You know, it really feels like such an old school thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
King,
yeah.
King would drink it.
Yeah, King would drink it, definitely.
Yeah.
Or in Mad Men.
Yes. Right before like you lost the use of your legs from the waist down. Yeah. You just drink it and then they stop working. And,
Yeah,
or just seize up with gout pain. And you're like, I deserve this. I feel the wealth coursing through my veins.
I've had a dirty oyster martini before.
I heard that sounds incredible.
Yeah,
that was incredible
as well.
This is my wife's story, but I hope she doesn't mind me telling it. She went to a bar opening the bar was owned by Bill Murray's son, and Bill Murray was bartending. And she said, what do you want? And she said, what do you recommend? And he said, I like to pour rosé into an oyster. And she said, all right. And so he did, and she tried it, and it was bad.
At this point, I think Bill Murray's just really struggling with new and exciting ways to have an impact on people's lives.
Yeah.
We also, separately, about 2 weeks ago, were in a restaurant. A friend was visiting from out of town, and we were she likes to go to this fancy place on the Upper East Side, and we went to have dinner with her there, and we saw Bill Murray across the restaurant just acting normal, and we were like, that's the story. We got the real goods.
But if he'd spotted you looking at him, he was like, oh, God, I'm going to have to do something crazy right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I've already done rosé in an oyster shell.
He puts a sock in his hand, starts eating his food with a sock. Like a puppet. Bill Murray, your life is a prison of your own creation.
I'm going to have to do Guinness in a clamshell. run out of stuff.
Just waterboard a lobster head with tequila? Is that anything? I'm out of ideas.
Oh, I'm going to have to check Reddit tomorrow to see if anyone saw me do this.
Just crying as he's doing it. Do you all notice me now? Please tell everyone you saw me.
I'm crazy.
I was in original Ghostbuster.
The name's Bill.
Oh, that's the saddest thing he showed. Little wrist. My name's Bill.
Wait, not being recognized. Imagine Bill Murray doing that, not being recognized.
Oh, yeah.
He just like takes a roll off your plate and takes a bite out of it and winks at you. Yeah. You're like, hey, what the fuck was that, man?
My name's Bill.
My name is, I don't care if your name is Mom. Get out of here.
Bend down at the waist. Oh, Bill Murray. Before we move on from the drink, how many olives are in there and when are you eating them?
Three.
Yeah.
And I paste them throughout.
Yeah.
In the walnut style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to even it out. So I'll drink. I don't start with an olive. I drink about a third and eat. And then either I'll eat the last one right before I finish or right after I finish the drink.
Are you able, when you have ordered this drink,
mm-hmm.
to drink it in peace without people going, well, a fucking blue cheese in that? and questioning you about it.
I've never been accosted about it before.
Yeah.
But I think if someone did, I would be like, yeah, you got to get on this train.
Yeah, try it.
Yeah, this is, I would be delighted.
That's immediately gone to the top of the list of things I have to find when I'm in New York.
I can see it in his eyes. He really wants it.
Beauty Bar has it, which is excellent. It's not hard. You know, it's not like a place you have to make reservations or anything. You just kind of go in and they do manicures and stuff. It's like a cute place. Yeah.
Amazing. We should go get a manicure and a martini. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want either of those things, but I'm going to do them. I'll happily do it for New York experience.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I'll drink that and have my nails done.
Classic New York City. That's what New York City is all about. Yeah. Getting your nails done, drinking a martini with cheese in it. Just a weird impression.
Oh, yeah. I did all the standard touristy things. I had my cheese martini and got my nails done at the same time.
Sat on the couch with Josh's dog, just the Josh Gondelman tour of New York City.
People walking past the nail bar going, I remember that used to be a creche. your dessert now. So very exciting for me, but also I'm a bit scared because I get sometimes people order things that aren't sweet for dessert. I'm very passionate about dessert.
Really?
But you've had quite a lot of... you've snuck cheese already where
it's very savory.
There wasn't going to be cheese.
I'm not even a cheesecake. There's no cheese in my dessert. I'm not one of those people that's like, we'll get a cheese plate with some apple slices and that's dessert.
That drives James crazy.
I go crazy.
I fully understand that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Are you a cheese dessert person?
I like it, but also you're going to be able to associate with this because your wife's type 1 diabetic. Yeah. Sometimes... if you want something, you're still hungry. It's just easier sometimes, you know.
That's true.
Admin wise, to get a bit of cheese.
Yes.
Don't have to do any insulin for it, really. And
absolutely.
Just, yeah. But then
right, high fat, low sugar.
Yeah, yeah. I also enjoy dessert as well, but sometimes I order cheese just to annoy James.
Yeah, it works every time.
Very effective.
Yeah, I know he's doing it to annoy me, and I shouldn't give him the satisfaction. But straight away, I'll go through the roof, Josh. I'll go through the roof.
So, I'm torn. My one thing is we have a great family recipe for apple pie, which is great warm with vanilla ice cream. And I have a real nostalgia for it. When I was a child, I didn't like the soft apples. And so my uncle, who had celiac, couldn't eat the crust. So he would eat the apples and I would eat the crust, which is a very warm childhood memory.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing. The other one, and I don't generally like other apple pies. It's just the family recipe is my favorite. But the other one is if my wife is here, if I'm eating solo, that's what I'll ask your genie powers to indulge me this family recipe for apple pie. If my wife is with me, we didn't talk about the rest of her meal, but I know the ideal would be for dessert. One of the two ideals, this is what we would get, is one of those molten chocolate lava cakes that's like a cake with the warm chocolate on the inside. Yeah. And like two times a year, she will have that, like on our anniversary and her birthday, she'll take extra insulin and have that. And the look on her face when she eats like their twice yearly molten chocolate lava cake is one of my favorite times of the whole year. So that's where I'll go with dessert.
That's a very sweet.
Thank you.
That's so nice that you picked your dessert
very nice.
For the look on your wife's face.
It's my favorite. I think about it
often, and I make sure that when we order it, I go, I gotta watch her. I try not to be a creep. That's just like, yeah, eat the cake. But I do kind of out of the corner, I'll be eating, but like really looking at what she's doing.
That's so nice.
Yeah, thinking to yourself, this cake tastes disgusting, but look at how happy she is.
She doesn't know she only eats cake twice a year.
Yeah, she has no idea.
This cake is dog shit.
I can't believe I've let her eat that cake. All I wanted was my apple pie crust. That was my dream.
Just wanted an empty pie crust.
She never looks at my face when I eat my empty pie crust.
She can't even make eye contact. She's so ashamed of me. See, this isn't the Great Depression. You can eat the whole slice. You don't have to save the apples in a bag for later to feed to a starving horse.
Thank God I found that sacred room in my house so I can eat the pie crust in peace.
And then, who knows?
What? They made a whole film about it.
That's very nice. I mean,
yeah, it's lovely.
That's very nice that you get to see your wife enjoying the chocolate molten lava cake. Also, this morning on our way here, we were talking about how we think that's probably been the most chosen dessert on the
book. A molten chocolate.
Very popular.
Everyone else hasn't said the same reason.
Yeah.
They like to watch my wife eat cake. These motherfuckers. Nobody watches my wife eat a cake.
Everyone just be like, so first of all, chocolate molten lava cake, and I know this guy's about saying, but bring Godelman's wife in. Get his wife in.
He's so nice, he won't mind.
Yeah, it's her birthday.
Yeah. All these meals take place on my wife's birthday.
Yeah. Everyone is always assume that it's your wife's birthday.
So it's your dream, you're in the dream restaurant, it's September 5th.
The insulin is flowing.
It's in like the insulin comes down like a sort of frozen vodka luge.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd like that.
Is there a place in New York that does the best molten lava cake?
You know, I don't remember offhand. I should look it up and let you guys know if you wanted to have it.
This is going to become an obsession now because I don't know what order these episodes are going to go out in.
Yeah.
Who knows? I hope that the listeners appreciate that. Yeah, you know, we don't know, but all we can talk about is what's happened in our lives so far.
Yeah.
And this is the second episode we've done in New York. Mm-hmm. First one was with Catherine Cohen.
Oh, wonderful.
She also chose chocolate molten lava cake as dessert.
Fascinating.
We asked her where the best one is in New York. She didn't know.
Wow.
So this is now... Now it's two for two. I'm becoming quite obsessed with finding the best chocolate molten lava cake in New York. I really want to know what it is now.
I have another quick question before we read the order back. Where would you recommend one place to go and eat in New York that we could go and we'll follow up on it?
Ooh, let me think. What are there things that you've been like, oh, I really need to get this while I'm in town?
Not. I kind of want to try some new places, really. Mm-hmm.
As I say, this is a staying alive meal. You get to continue to be alive afterwards. Yeah. But imagine people are like, this is it.
Right.
You can go, it's your last meal, but you have to go to a particular place.
Mission Chinese is a great choice so far. Mm-hmm. I would say there's a really, I don't know if it's the best place, but I've always been really happy with the, they have pho and banh mi at this place called Saigon Shack on McDougal Street.
Great.
And that's a fun spot.
That's cool. We haven't got anything like that planned.
Yep, let's do it.
So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, Enrico, you back your order. Tell me how you feel about it. See how you feel. Water, tap water, absolutely. Loads of ice.
Thank you.
Problems of bread. You chose a whole grain roll with honey salted butter. Starter, escrow salad from Rucola. Main, lobster roll. Loads of butter. Side, thin French fries with ketchup. Your drink, a dirty vodka martini with blue cheese stuffed olives times three. Dessert, chocolate molten lava cake on your wife's birthday with a good view of her face.
I hate when she obscures her face.
That's no fun for me if you don't look at me.
Behind kind of a fan or something.
Yeah.
When you call and book, you have to say, I'd like the table with the best view of my wife's face.
Yeah. Also, I think because...
She eats across the room also.
Yeah. You got binoculars.
Yeah, her birthday is the only time she turns her chair around.
Okay, get a good look, you happiness perv.
Oh, I bet you wish you were in the secret room right now. I'm sorry, I interrupted what you were saying.
No, well, I think because you've chosen such a nice reason for your dessert, I think it would be nice at the restaurant if we throw in the pie crust and even the Breaking Bad chicken.
Yes.
Thank you.
There we go. You can have that.
This is a dream.
Yeah, that's a lesson for everybody. Maybe if we all thought about others a bit more, We'd get a pie crust. Yeah, we'd all get some pie crust and some fictional chicken.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming to the
restaurant.
Thank
you for having me. This was so much fun.
There we are then, the off-menu menu of Josh Gondelman.
Yummy, yummer.
Yummy, yummer indeed. What a lovely guy, what a funny man, and what a great episode.
Oh, it had it all.
Well, what it didn't have was chicken feet.
Thank you, Josh. Otherwise, we'd have had to send him out on his little chicken feet.
That would have broken my heart.
Oh, I would have felt really bad if he was like, oh, I just want to have a chocolate pudding and see my wife's face. Also, it's had a chicken feet. Get the fuck out of our restaurant, Josh. I would have felt really bad.
What's your wife's face going to do when she finds out you were kicked out of the Dream restaurant? Scuttle away on your little claws, Josh.
Yeah, I would have felt so awful because I would have had to have said all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. James gets nasty when he kicks people out of the restaurant.
Yeah, but not Josh Gondelman. We kept him in. I'm so happy. He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. If you like the sound of Josh, and who wouldn't, go and check him out on Twitter. He's at Josh Gondelman. He also runs the very funny Seinfeld Today Twitter account, which is at Seinfeld Today.
Yes, one of the few things I miss about Twitter.
And if you go onto YouTube, there's lots of clips that he's done on sort of late-night talk shows. He's very funny. He also has a stand-up comedy album called Dancing on a Weeknight, which is very, very funny indeed. And he writes and produces on a show called Desus and Miro and used to work on Last Week Tonight. His CV is huge.
Oh, that is impressive. And now he's been on the off-menu podcast. Add that to the CV, Josh.
Exactly. We should try and convince him to come and do a run in London. I think he'd go down very well.
Yes, people would love him.
They would indeed. Well, keep bothering. I'm bothering him on Twitter to come to London, if that's where you're listening. But otherwise, thank you very much for listening. I love you so much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello, I'm Lou Sanders, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, you might like my podcast, Cuddle Club. It's about cuddling, yes, but really it's just a way into relationships and asking cheeky questions like who was your mum's favourite and when were you last unfaithful? Previous guests include Alan Davies, Ashley B, Catherine Ryan, Rich Dosman, Ed Gamble, Nish Kumar and other legends. Get it on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your all podcasts. And remember to CC everybody in. CC stands for Cuddle Club.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brands.